How many conversations have you had about prostate cancer? If you're over 25, that is, you or someone you know suddenly has this dilemma. Do you take symptoms or doctor's advice seriously, or do you take a punt and hope the prostate problem will linger quietly and not need drastic intervention, cuts that seem severe? Well, today we hear from a GP who's written a book about the conundrum. Dr. Judith O'Malley Ford lives and works in Brisbane. Her book is called The Secret Stalker of the Prostate, and she has some considered advice.
Prostate cancer is a controversial topic, and as a GP, not an easy one to keep abreast of. Much has been said and debated about prostate cancer, but opinions on the diagnosis, treatment and management of the disease are more divergent than ever before. Some professionals and politicians question whether there should be a screening program for the disease at all. Different countries have different public policies on this issue, and the Australian government does not officially support a policy on prostate screening, although it does not discourage PSA or prostate-specific antigen testing in primary healthcare. The College of General Practitioners has also decided not to endorse or support a prostate screening policy. These decisions leave myself and my general practitioner colleagues in an invidious and vicarious position. Prostate screening does occur unofficially, but does not have the unreserved support from public health policy or professional organisations. You would be forgiven for asking how or why opinion about prostate cancer has become so divided. I believe the answer lies within the diagnostic process itself. The PSA, or prostate-specific antigen test, stands at the forefront of prostate screening. This is a blood test that can be and often is performed by general practitioners for patients during medical checkups. Men have come to rely on this test and the rectal examination for prostate screening. But there is much more to the PSA test than meets the eye. The PSA test is non-specific and is expressed as a single numerical value. It may be influenced and erroneously increased by many extraneous factors, including the presence of a urinary tract infection, recent strenuous exercise, and recent sexual activity. The PSA test does not distinguish between prostate cancer, either the aggressive form or the less aggressive form, nor does it distinguish cancer from non-cancer enlargement of the prostate. In addition, a low numerical value for the PSA test cannot exclude an early aggressive form of prostate cancer. But, some say, consider the doubling effect, the time interval where repeated PSA tests may result in the doubling of the numerical value obtained, indicating that there is indeed a malignancy present. Unfortunately, it takes time to rely on this fail-safe method. In the ensuing interval, an aggressive form of prostate cancer may have already had time to increase in size and gather significant momentum. It may have already spread beyond the prostate to form secondary deposits of prostate cancer in the bones. Screening could be improved with a better test. Ultrasound imaging may assist with diagnosis of prostate cancer, and more recently, MRI and prostate biopsy have added value to the diagnostic process. The new generation of MRIs, the high-resolution, high-definition technology, is a significant step forward in locating and defining small lesions. It is important to remember that the prostate is about the size of a walnut, so that even small lesions are significant with this disease. MRI investigation is available to those who can afford to pay. The cost of this MRI screen may run into several hundred dollars and is unaffordable to some patients, particularly those relying on the public hospital system. They also must wait for an appointment to become available. In addition to the complexities of the diagnostic process, urologists have also come under increasing scrutiny about their choice of treatment. or indeed whether certain patients should be treated at all for this disease. Urologists use the notion of active surveillance and watchful waiting, where no active form of intervention is considered appropriate action for some patients. More recently, a spokesperson for radiation oncologists stated they believe they are being left out of the equation when it comes to decision-making about the choice of treatment. It is custom and practice for general practitioners to refer suspected cases of prostate cancer to a urologist for an opinion and treatment planning. In the Weekly Medical Observer in January this year, a Sydney radiation oncologist spoke about the shamefully bad deal prostate cancer patients get, referring to the fact that patients do not have their treatment options sufficiently explained by urologists. The comments by the radiation oncologists follow a comment made by urologists in 2016 that surgery for early prostate cancer was no better than radiotherapy or active surveillance. From my point of view, all this uncertainty and discontent among the specialists adds to my lack of confidence in our valued specialist colleagues about the treatment process. I also find their comments about treatment outcomes puzzling and unnerving. We need positive leadership and we need research which clarifies the best treatment options. A diagnosis of cancer is unnerving for any patient, and having to wait for long periods of time for assessment adds to the trauma for the patient and his family. In contradistinction, breast screening is available in free clinics for women over the age of 40. Prostate cancer and breast cancer share common inherited genetic traits, and I would expect gender equality for both cancers. Access to service is also important. Most men with prostate cancer and their families just want their cancer dealt with, and they are often unsure about the treatment process, which is fraught with unwanted side effects. Newer treatment options apart from surgery are now being offered to men, and so the comments from the radiation oncologists may well be justified. General practitioners are left to figure this out for themselves. General practice is tough, and we may be criticised by other professionals and patients simply for having a personal opinion. As a general practitioner, I've been criticised not only for having an opinion, but also for being a woman with an opinion on the subject. A comment was made to me, "What would a woman know about prostate cancer?" My reply has been to highlight the number of male doctors practicing obstetrics and gynaecology. I hear the argument in this complex equation and empathise with fellow general practitioners whose opinions may run the whole gamut of the spectrum. GP opinions may depend on their own personal experiences or experiences with their patients in medical practice. The prostate is part of the male sexual organs. We have much to learn about male psyche as it pertains to male sexual function and defines male identity. Historically, men have been reluctant to talk about health issues, about sexual function, and about their male values. Discussion of problems that relate to their male identity is still a barrier to achieving universal prostate screening and indeed to intervention. It is understandable that men are reluctant to talk about treatment that may result in unwanted side effects and impinge on their dignity and male identity. It is a fact that the medical professionals involved in prostate cancer treatment and the political decision makers for public health policy are mostly men. Thus, male sexuality is a topic, I believe, which requires ongoing research. So, where to from here? The diagnostic process could be made so much simpler with the substitution of the current PSA test for a more accurate, accessible, specific, reliable, and reproducible screening test. A simple screening test to differentiate benign prostate hypertrophy from the aggressive form of prostate cancer and from the less aggressive form. A screening test of this sort would change the way prostate cancer is managed. This technology is already in the wings but is not available commercially. Alternative methods of treating prostate cancer are already emerging and will be employed with fewer side effects. There is a brighter future for men with prostate cancer. Medical technology will prevail and change the way that prostate cancer is managed. I hope my book will help them understand the disease and encourage them to get early diagnosis and treatment.
And the book is entitled The Secret Stalker of the Prostate, and it's written by Dr. Judith O'Malley Ford from Brisbane. Next week, Ockham's Razor comes from the University of Queensland, where Professor Mark Dodgson has been thinking about false facts and the march for science. I'm Robin Williams.